We've got Chad Cooper with us, author of Time Isn't the Problem, You Are, 4 Strategies to Transform Stress into Success. Why don't you make a call or two and share your stories as well when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Chad Cooper with us, of course. We'll get to your calls, share your stories as well. Chad, one of our Facebook comments from Pauline, she writes in, "Hey, I've been on my job for 20 years. I work hard. The current guest retired at 35. That would be you. I still live paycheck to paycheck. I wish I could afford to retire. The message is great in theory, but who pays the bills?" So what do you think?
Well, I think that that is the story of too many Americans out there, too many people in the world today. And so it isn't about being Pollyanna and saying, well, you know, let's just wish and let's just be positive. It's about taking a look at, and again, going back to that map, where are you? And then getting clear, getting very crystal clear about where you want to be. So when somebody says that they want to retire, let's define that. Let's take a look at what retirement means. And let's start with writing down what are all the things. Let's just say, George, that you won $250 million cash. How would that change your life? What would you do? Write those things down and say, here's what I would actually end up doing. Would you go from leasing a car to buying it?
Not necessarily. I would help more people than I can help now, Chad.
There you go. And I think that's part of everybody's, is that they would include in there being able to serve and help other people. And so the first step in getting to retirement is really drawing the map. Sit down, and maybe that first step is, do you have a financial advisor? Is that financial advisor a fiduciary, which is just a technical collegiate word for they're there to serve your needs.
That's right.
Their personal gain.
And they don't run off with your money.
They don't run off with your money. And so we need to take a look and create that map and say, what does retirement look like to her? And then what we can do is say, okay, what's the gap? And how do we start consistently building habits to close it? So if you're living paycheck to paycheck, the question is are you willing to do something to move forward out of getting or being in paycheck to paycheck? Maybe that's investing in your education. Maybe that's changing jobs. Maybe it's getting another job. Maybe it's reducing your expenses. And that's where life coaching can come in and say, what are your options? So when we use that story as well, you know, financially I can't do it, what we're really saying is we're not willing to get resourceful. And so a coach can come in and really help and say, what are your options? And then let's figure out which one has the best calculated risk to keep moving you forward to close that gap so that she also can retire.
How long do you work with people? How long does the course take? How long does the training take?
Well, on average, my clients stay with me for 3 to 5 years before they might take a short sabbatical. And that might be 6 months that they say, you know, I'm ready to just go off and celebrate for a little bit. I'm ready to just take a break. And then they come back generally after about 3 to 6 months. But I keep my clients for about 5 years.
That's a long time. That is.
It is. I really look at it as the same way as a relationship with your family physician. You know, any of us can go to urgent care or to the ER and get a prescription for something temporary. But the reason that we have a family physician is because we want a relationship. We want them to understand how things are interacting, how things all come together. And in life coaching, it's very similar. I have a relationship with my clients because once we achieve a goal, we're going to want to still have more objectives in our future. And so it's really about saying, okay, before we cross the finish line, let's set some new objectives along the journey. Again, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And so we keep on stacking those successes one after another, and it gets addictive, and people say, I want to keep going.
Who knows first whether they've really accomplished it? Is that you or them?
Well, if you are doing the system and working this correctly, it's a celebration together. Oftentimes, the client will get on the phone with me, and they're like, man, let's just celebrate this. I finally had the breakthrough. I finally claimed victory on this. And so along the path, we actually check in, and we look at how are you doing. So if it's a scale of 0 to 10, where are you right now? Maybe starting at a 6. Well, we don't wait till we get to a 10 to claim that celebration. So we might say, hey, I moved from 6 to 8 along that way. Let's celebrate. And then when they really hit that, we also have goals backing that up. And so they can come in and we consistently are looking at how they're progressing, where those constant victories can be claimed. I mean, we grow up in a society today that tells us, you know, don't get too big for your britches. And at the same time, we're told we're the greatest country in the world, right? Proclaim it from the mountaintop.
Sure.
Well, which is it?
All right.
I tell people, do it along the whole way.
Are you ready for calls?
I'm ready.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Kevin is with us in Minnesota. Hi, Kev. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi there.
I'd like to comment. You talk about solar flares and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Back when, I think about in the mid-1800s, when one of the popes were, there was a heck of a solar flare. Well, I tuned in after a thunderstorm went through the area, and I was able to get some AM reception again. And you were interviewing this man, and I just picked up on it. I picked up on the phone, and I wanted to comment. He was talking about suicide.
Well, all right, go ahead, because let's see how Chad can give us some expertise on that.
Well, back, the Virgin Mary came down to Earth and told us to pray the rosary for people who commit suicide in our lives, so we can get them out of purgatory. And it's all documented in church history.
All right, well, what's your question, Kevin?
Well, the question is, has he ever researched the Catholic Church in the rosary and why Catholics pray the rosary?
I would say he has not, because that's not his expertise. Chad? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
That would be correct, George. I have not, but I am a faith-based background. And I would say you're taking something that is not my expertise, but when we look at that from the meaning that we're giving to it, it's very similar to the show right now, is we are constantly, there are frequencies and airwaves going on, whether we're tuned in to them or not. And so what I believe is that we have the ability, regardless of what religious background that we're in, is to be able to be in control of that radio dial. If we go back to the old radio dials that you had to turn, most of us are listening to static in our lives. And so the rosary may be a example of taking control, being in cause, and tuning into a frequency that is bringing harmony and healing into your life as well as other people. And when we tune into that, that can really bring a lot of peace, a lot of healing into our lives. And then we're able to radiate that out to other people as well.
Chad,
so it's very similar to that solar flare.
How many people, Chad, blame other people for their own misfortunes?
Well, I think that we've all had tragedies. The question is, do we try to compare our tragedies? Oh, you think you've got it bad. Well, let me tell you how bad mine is. Instead of taking responsibility and say, you know what, bad things happen to good people at times. The question isn't whether it's fair, whether it's right. The question is what are you willing to do about it? Are you willing to stop living in that story, stop playing that record over and over again, and say, what am I in control of? What can I do to affect change in my life? Because the majority of people are living in the effect of other people's decisions. And often we don't like the result of their decisions. And so we need to choose to be the cause of our future, which means taking responsibility for where we are.
How important is time management in all of this?
For me, it's been everything. For me, it's the ability to say, you know, where do I want to actually not just talk about something, but actually take action towards it. Again, we have 168 hours in 1 week. How we use that is critical. And so when I look at time management, it really starts with the language that I'm choosing. For example, how many of us say, yeah, I need to go work out, yet we don't do it? And so when we're looking at time management, the reason that we say we want to do something but we don't do it is because we know it's good for us, but it doesn't feel good. And so then we tell ourselves a story. We get ourselves into our head and say, but, you know, this three donuts, that's immediate gratification. And so if we have empowering language and say, what do you really want to experience? What does that workout really represent? Then we can honor our time. And maybe that workout really represents being an example to our children of being physically fit. So you have the energy to participate with them before school or after you come home from a job. Maybe that is really about being able to be fit so you can be attractive and have a relationship with somebody and, let's say, perform in certain ways. Or maybe it's just about being able to stave off the genetic predisposition of a heart attack or a stroke or things that might run in your family heritage. So what we do with our time is largely based, and the importance of it is really based on the meaning and the language that we put towards it.
Chad, why are so many people just so screwed up? I mean, it's great to be able to go to a coach like you, but why are they so screwed up?
Well, again, I think that comes down to the meaning that we give to things. I could say that I'm screwed up. Am I flawed? Sure, just ask my family.
Right?
Our family is always the first to tell us, you know, that we have challenges. The question is whether you can actually accept both the light and the dark within yourself. What do I mean about that? So an example of that would be if you ask somebody, hey, would you ever kill somebody? Well, I would hope that everybody would say no. But the reality is if your opinion is you would not kill somebody, and I said, well, somebody's just breaking into your home and they're about to hurt a family member and they're about to kill them, most people would say they're dead in a heartbeat. And so that's that dark energy most of the time that when used in the right manner, right, we're given a head, heart, and hands. We have a responsibility to use each of those in the right proportion at the right time. And so that's where we can go to our heart and our head and say, hey, I need to stop this. And so that's the dark energy actually being converted or transferred over to light, into a positive energy. So when we say we're screwed up, it may mean we're just in a job, we're just in a career, we're in a situation where our innate gifts aren't being served or lined up with our learned talents. And so we need to take responsibility to say, hey, how do I start transitioning over? You know, we don't want to be irresponsible. We want to do that in a way that serves ourselves and allows us to maintain financial gains that we've made.
Let's go to Jill, first-time caller in Virginia. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning to you, George. Good morning, Chad. My question to you is, I'm a retired master sergeant. I served 1 year in Vietnam in 1971.
Thank you for serving.
Thank you. And my question is this. I had to learn to choose to be happy, choose to love, and choose to love myself, choose to be loved and choose to love. Have you ever followed any vet or treated any vet so that when they get their to balance their heart, mind, and spirit as one? I found when I did that, and I want to know if you found this, I didn't know who I was. I my whole personality changed, and I became I was still Jill, but I was a different Jill. Does that make sense to you, sir?
It absolutely makes sense, and as George says, thank you for your service. I would say you've really articulated it incredibly well, and that is that you decided to get to know who you really are, not who you were told to be, not who your physical form has experienced. You know, you've experienced some severe traumatic things that we hope nobody would have to, but life is not that simple sometimes. And so once we're able to serve, we can come back and say, hey, I need to know, I need to be at peace for the things that I did and not keep playing that record, but say, this is a part of me, not all of me. And so I experienced, you know, I did not have to serve overseas the way that my brother did during the Desert Storm engagement. I missed it by 1 day, and I'm very thankful for that, because I didn't have to do that. But I think we all have our challenge and all have some difficulty. And whether we served in Vietnam or we've had tragedy in our personal family lives, we can follow that same path to healing. Just as you said, it is starting to get to know, who am I? Am I able to look in the mirror and say, I love you for all of my greatness and for all of your challenges as well? That's when we know, you know, God created you to be this way for a reason. If we didn't have any of those challenges, we wouldn't be unique. It's the meaning that we give to them that allows us to transform from being a child to a mature adult.
What would you say? What would you say is the tops on the list of what you would call a lifestyle success person? Would it be happiness, money? What would it be?
It would definitely not be material. Would definitely not be money.
Okay, that's
what
I thought.
But I believe it is the ability to have a relationship with ourselves. To be able to say, you know, I've had some tough things and I've become stronger. I'm actually a better person because of those. Those are the people that I find the most successful. The people that are able to embrace uncertainty and be able to come through that with empowering meaning, that have fortitude for themselves. Those are the healthiest people that are then able to go and serve other people and say, you know what, my journey is not the same as yours, but I'm here to listen. And I might have some insight to help you get to your destination as well.
Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Gary, good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is going to be a make or break question for me here. When it comes to lifestyle branding, when World War II happened and you had the world's greatest generation all constricted together to fight the war. They came back with a commonality and created me, George, and Tommy, the baby boomers, after the partying of making it back out of the war alive. They built things, interstates, dams. They went to work. This new generation, the millennials, are starting all of the earmarks of the greatest generation. They are lifestyle branding themselves as informed, in shape, outdoor people. Advertising Age said that T-Mobile, the CEO, is branding himself as a lifestyle. George, the promo piece that you read for Uber said it will fit your lifestyle. ParanormalDate.com suits the lifestyle of somebody that listens to late-night talk radio, another lifestyle. These lifestyles come together, merge with an entire generation that agree on smartphones, on playing Pokemon Go, on connecting through social networking with each other, this time not in a war situation that brought them together, but in a social networking situation.
And they stay for a long time. Gary, you're spot on there. We're going to come back, wrap things up with Chad Cooper. Final questions next. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast, our final segment here with Chad Cooper as we talk about his work that will help. Time isn't the problem. Chad, so if somebody gets the book, do they physically need to talk to you, or are they okay with the book to learn these techniques?
Well, the book was designed to be able to create that transformation by itself. And the real question on that, George, is how fast do you want to get to that transformation? And so it's about the speed that you want to get to your to China. Do you want to take the slow boat to China? Or if you want to get an airfare that costs is a little bit more expensive, there's another route. Or if you want to get there on the spaceship that's going to get you there a whole lot faster, of course, that ticket's even more pricey. But it's about results. And so you can absolutely get those results if you're committed to not just reading the book, but actually doing the homework.
All right, back to the calls we go. Jim in Washington, thanks for the call, Jim. Go ahead. Jimmy, you still with us? There you are.
I've been on a kidney machine about 42 years, and I have trouble trusting women. And I'd like to know, how do you know when you can trust somebody? And I'll take my answer off the air.
How do you know when you can trust somebody? Chad, that's a tough one. That's individual, isn't it?
Well, I think that there's a bit of individual in that, as well as the ability to take a look and say, what is what is really going on. Again, you're given a head, heart, and hands, and we want to be able to honor that so that we can assess a situation. There's the old saying is, mess me over once, shame on you. Mess me over twice, shame on me. And so we want to equip ourselves with the ability to use our head and our heart together in a correct manner. And so the first thing that we can ask ourselves is, you know, is the relationship I'm in a fit? In other words, you know, what's the importance of this relationship? Does this relationship or this woman that you're considering fit your goals, your beliefs, your values? Is it really a relationship that's the best use of your time, your talent, and your energy? And what's it going to cost you to have a relationship with this person? You know, are you able to go into it? I think that the majority of people, they did a study at some point that they could predict whether a relationship was going to fail or succeed was whether that person believed in the best of their partner or expected the worst. And so if you're looking at this and continuously asking yourself, I'm expecting the worst, then you may have some things that you want to look deeper into. And second is we want to look at how important is this relationship to your overall goals, to your objective in life. You know, will this complement the path that you're on, or will it compete with it? And then third is to look at it and say, is the timing right? You know, are you in a place in your relationship with yourself that this is a perfect fit, that you have accepted responsibility for your life? Or is that other person in a place where they've accepted responsibility for themselves as well? And can we accept that, hey, we're not perfect? There's going to be those challenges in there. So you have to ask yourself, am I too early? Am I too late? Am I even ready to have a relationship? And then fourth would be just keeping it simple. You know, the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly, or Sally, or if you're in the military as a Vietnam veteran, you know, stupid. So we want to keep it simple. You know, is this relationship simple and clear? Is it a relationship that you can achieve without degrading your reputation, your future capacities, and your values?
Did you find that your Marine career helped you in putting all this together?
No question. Absolutely it did. I found that I quite frankly was a bit of a mama's boy before I went in. Even though I have five brothers and three sisters, and it was a tough household in some respects, I went in and was really not mentally ready for what the Marines had. And they gave me a number of qualities and characteristics such as brotherhood and understanding what my values are. But I also got some junk that went into that. And when I came out of the military, I had to sort through that. I had to look at what are the best parts of the Marines that I want to keep and be able to get rid of the rest. And I think life is like that. We have identities. And the Marines have a fortunate motto, and it's once a Marine, always a Marine. And so I learned that I'm a Marine and more. Just like Olympians, they will always be an Olympian and more. The question is not whether life is going to have change, it's whether we want to grow. That's optional.
I'm amazed that when people come to you, now the big question is, after the program's done, and even though you say you've, you know, stay with them, they stay with you for, you know, 5 years, what kind of a change do you see in them, Chad?
Oh, they're traumatic in some situations where they have really learned to not just be a parent or a father, because that has negative connotations to some people, that those words, but that they've maybe become a super dad or super mom, and they've learned to balance excelling in their career. Maybe they've become a rock star in their career, and they show up in an extraordinary way in their house. And that's really what I see on average with majority of my clients, is that they've learned to really master time. They have stopped accepting what they get, and they've started to get what they accept. Let me say that again. They no longer accept what they get what they accept. So they know what their worth is. And instead of saying, hey, I'm going to take this job, and okay, I guess you'll pay me, you know, $7 an hour, they say, I'm worth $10, I'm worth $30, I'm worth $80 an hour, and they get what they accept. So they start defining their future. They start defining what their goals are, and they have a belief that's aligned with it, and they actually achieve it.
Let's go to Jay in Florida now. Jay, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you both for your service.
Thank you.
I have a main question and then some comments, but him saying he was a mama's boy, I was as well, and she was a controlling mother. And later on, let's say in my teen years, I had abandonment issues from both my family where they had both remarried. My mom, she was in her third marriage. My dad finally remarried years later. And they kind of chose their spouses over me. So that's just bringing in a little bit of background. But starting when I was 14, I was diagnosed. The original diagnosis was obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, and depression. And then later a therapist also said I had obsessive compulsive personality. So I definitely don't fall into the normal where people don't have to deal with that. In addition to that, I also have ADD, attention deficit disorder. So, and time has always been an enigma, an enemy for me, and where I really just don't have a good sense of it. So time management has always been one of my greatest weaknesses, I guess you could say. But then add to that, then when you have, you're being conditioned, controlled, programmed, cued, and manipulated by the Illuminati, and CERN and Mandela is manipulating time with the Mandela effect and CERN. So how... I guess I don't know, like, what advice would he have for me? And then the comments I had was, he was giving examples, and he's made great points, very much so. But he was giving examples of, like, Bill Gates, who is definitely one of the top 10 alleged Illuminati members. Oprah, the Oprah Winfrey Network own, is NWO, New World Order backwards. And some people claim that she was... actually killed years ago, probably the Illuminati sacrifice, and what's left of her is clones left to deceive people. Robin Williams, I loved Robin Williams. He was probably also an Illuminati sacrifice, and he was seen going into Luciferian or satanic places with some other celebrities. And probably I would say the same with John Belushi, but the evidence for that would be harder to come up with, where he was saying you want to do where you can serve yourself. Well, that's good, but when you're serving yourself, that is not of God or Yahweh, and it's more going to the ego. And if you look at it from not a religious or spiritual perspective, then you want to get out of the ego to raise your vibrations by getting, you know, back in to love.
All right, there's a lot there to digest there, Chad.
There is. And so let me start with really just cautioning anyone about the label that they have either had placed on them or that they have accepted. And so I look at it and say, you know, we all have tragedies in our life. And if somebody is labeling you as this or that, what's the meaning that you're giving to that? Because I have clients, and if you look statistically, many executives, many CEOs, have been diagnosed as ADHD, attention deficit disorder, in other words. And there's a great book out there by Dale Archer, and I'm not going to, you know, qualify him, but the book is called The ADHD Advantage. And so while you may have had a challenging or troubled childhood, I also did. I had four sets of parents. And I would often get people that would say, oh, what a sad, you know, that you're the victim of divorced parents. And I'd say, I'm not a victim. I said, I got to choose the greatest qualities from four people. You only got two. So I got to learn what was great about four people and embrace those. It's no secret I had some challenges with my father in my early or late 20s, early 30s. And we didn't talk to each other for at least a year because of some differences in beliefs. And so we can look at and blame our parents. The question is are you choosing to be a victim or victorious? And I looked at, and my wife was very fortunate to have, I was fortunate to have her in my life, and she says, you know, your father will never, our parents will never be everything that we need them to be. They are doing the best that they can with the tools that they have at the time that they are presenting them. And so it's really about having empathy and forgiveness for them. And being able to say they did the best they can, and I can appreciate that being a father now. You know, I screw up. The question isn't whether you're going to screw up. The question isn't whether they are falling short. What I did, you know, and now I have an extraordinary relationship with my father. I have an extraordinary relationship. And what I did is I chose to focus on what was great about him, not about his shortcomings. And so for you, I would say, you know, you've got some labels there. Are you choosing to focus on those as an excuse, as a crutch to hold you back? Or are you looking at what's great about you, what gifts you do have for this world, and sharing those with the world?
That's
going to allow you to be victorious.
That's the way to look at it, too. You got to be positive about it. Victor in Texas?
You know, there was
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If I can, real quick, George,
yep.
Before we went to a commercial break, there was a question about the greatest generation comparison with the millennials. And the comparison there, I think, is a really spot on that most people haven't picked up yet. And it ties to this last question. What do the greatest generation of millennials have in common is they had a purpose. If you look at millennials, they will quit a job if it doesn't have purpose. And people think, oh, that's irresponsible. But if we look at the greatest generation, they had a purpose. They had to thwart and stop Nazi regime. And that's a major goal for millennials as well, as they have to have a purpose. But second, the thing that's working for the millennials is we can look at technology in games and all the things that they do, and we can look at the World War II. And what their commonality is they had to reset at each level. Here's the thing. When you play a game, once you pass that level, the next level gets harder, kind of like life. And if you use the same rules in the next level that you used in the previous, you're probably not going to be winning that next level.
No, you're not going to move up, that's for sure.
You're not going to move up. And same thing with our veterans is after each skirmish, they had to adapt. They had to get resourceful and say, what is new that I need to adjust? And so they were flexible. They got resourceful and willing to change. And millennials are doing the same thing. So they're willing to go into a business and say, you know what, I'm going to put Chad in for this project because he's the best equipped. And when that project's over and we've won, then the next project that comes in, they're going to put George in because he's best equipped. They're not stuck on title or tenure. They look at what are the new rules, what's the new leadership, and how do I get resourceful so I can win? The third part in that, and this goes back to, you know, our labels, is they're willing to get rid of those. Is the third is they found simple ways to create pleasure and integrate them, very similar to Pokemon Go. You know, we look at that. It's a great example of stacking. You're able to have fun. You're able to be active. It requires you to do that. It's focusing on things outside of ourselves, yet we personally get to win in the process. And fourth is we are able to interact with the community. CrossFit does the same thing. And so these are our secrets. These are tips. These are our direction telling us, here's how we need to embrace and move forward. And the greatest generation figured it out. The millennials are figuring it out. But it means that we have to be willing to get rid of some of those old labels. Get resourceful.
Victor in Texas, first time caller. Victor, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hi, Victor.
I just wanted to mention that I know a gunsmith. After I'd go deer hunting each day, I'd come over. Sometimes I'd mess with my gun and I'd go over. Well, he was a gunsmith. He had a nice house. He had all the guns, and I'd hear of his trips over in South America for dove hunting and Alaska for elk hunting. And one day I stopped by, and his wife had said that he'd passed away. And she said, but don't worry, he lived a full life. And I was like, yeah, well, how'd he do that? And then I wanted to compare that man with a news anchor here in Houston named Marvin Zindler, who worked to his dying day, and how can we be more like T.B. Hawkins and live a full life and not have to work to our dying day? And I'll just go ahead and hang up and listen.
Though sometimes, Victor, and I know how you talked about holiday and vacation, Chad, earlier on the program, some people enjoy working. They like it.
I certainly do. Absolutely.
I do, too. I'm not even thinking anymore retirement. I mean, I'm just going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny.
I tried it for about 3 months, and I went, this sucks. It was not pleasurable, because I'm a type A personality. I'm wired.
You have to keep going.
To put more in this world. I mean, it's biblical. Grow or you're going to die. It's in many religions. And so it's not about whether you have to. For you and for me, it's I get to do this. And so, you know, how do we make sure that we have a rich life, that we die going, wow, I did more than I even thought I would? Well, I think it starts with looking at, if the Grim Reaper came tapping you on the shoulder this morning and said, it's time. Most people, I would think, would go, wait a minute. I need one more week to put my things in order. I need one more week to say my goodbyes, to spend quality time with some people. And the Grim Reaper would probably respond and say, it's 38 weeks into the year. What have you done with those 38 weeks that I should give you one more? And so the secret to having a fulfilled life is to make every week count.
Chad, good luck with the book.
Make mistakes.
Appreciate you being on the program. I hope some folks take heed from some of your advice and they use it in a positive way to change their life as well. Thank you so much for being on the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.